Welcome to Mittliv's podcast, everyone. I'm your host for today, Sofia Appelgren, and I've been around those topics now for 16 years, since I founded the company in 2008. And our vision is to work for an inclusive society and a labor market that values diversity. And with this podcast, throughout our journey here, we'll engage with conversations with extraordinary individuals who are reshaping the job landscape for inclusivity. And we'll explore how diversity, equity, inclusion, and belongingness not only enriches companies, but also strengthens our societies. And together we tackle some challenges, we highlight these successes, and also we draw inspiration for those leading the charge for a more inclusive and fulfilling professional world. So, most important today, we are privileged to have a very, very special guest with us that inspired me the very first second I met you. And with the power of being a full-time working mom and your positive mindset and insightful experiences that you so generously shared with me immediately. And I just felt that this is something more people need to hear about, and so more people can also become inspired to do more. So warm, warm welcome, Adriana Del Shorts, country manager at Halt EF here in Switzerland, and to our conversation about values and purpose, and also how diversity can enhance both societies and companies. So thank you for coming.
Thank you, Sofia, for having me. It's an honor to be here today.
Thank you. And I'm just curious, you woke up this morning. What feeling did you wake up with?
Various feelings. So first of all, I was a bit nervous because it's the first time that I'm participating in a podcast. And then I had my children that woke up, of course, super early when I had to get ready at 5-ish. And yeah, so I was wearing that mommy hat as well, but had to get ready to come. So a bit of different feelings, yes, but excited as well to be here.
And how do you navigate in this mindset to stay calm, like prepare for a work day with all those things around you?
It's a very good question. So I always try to power through and think nothing is impossible. So I stop for a second and ask my children, what do they need? And try to cover that. So then they are entertained and they are like, well, and then I can continue with my mission for the morning. So it's balanced a little bit.
It is. But it needs its person to go through this kind of mornings, right? And but we are now here at the amazing Halt EF office in Zurich. So I'm super curious about, tell us a little about the mission of Halt EF and also a little bit more about your mission and how those relate to each other.
Yes, thank you. So it's a wonderful question. And here we can see that our mission is to open the world through education. And I'd like to walk you through the beginning of how we started as an organization. And the founder, he's Swedish, his name is Bertil Holt, and he had dyslexia himself. So it was a difficult time as a student for him. And then he went to the UK and he realized that with this full immersion experience, that wasn't a barrier anymore. It really empowered him as a human being. Mm. And so he went back home, and from his garage, and that's really back in 1965. So it was quite disruptive at the time. He decided to send Swedish students for the summer to the UK to learn English. Mm. So this is truly how it began over half a century ago.
Amazing.
And we do have all sorts of different programs, divisions, but we stick to that immersion as a concept. So today I'm here representing our B2B arm, Halt EF, and we bring this immersion into life, empowering adults in this case that would like perhaps to learn a language so they could go study abroad, And if not, we have like this award-winning and new innovation that is called HyperClass, where online they have with different experiences and backgrounds, the teachers really making the students feel that they are experiencing what they are learning. So it really sticks and it's empowering them and preparing them for the real world. So
that's amazing. What a story. But also how important education is, right? And language. So I'm just also curious about how, I mean, certain different situations takes us to a point in life where we need to make big decisions on how we spend our time. And I'm just curious about what brought you to HALT EF? Mm-hmm. What has been the biggest milestone in your life that brought you to the leadership of HALT EF for Switzerland?
I grew up in Spain and I started working at 14, was working, studying, and I was so curious to see the world and to meet everyone from everywhere. So I managed to get a scholarship to go to study to the US, but I didn't speak English. Not at all. It was hello, like this type of basic level. So I arrived to that small town, Bridgewater in Virginia, and I had a hard time. I really did. Because I wanted to get good grades in order to continue having my scholarship, and I couldn't understand a word. I remember my first finals class that I was with all my senses trying to understand and nothing. I was really crying during the class. So then every night for the first 3 months, I was studying at the basement until 2 a.m. to translate everything so I could then study it. And then one day after 3 months, it clicked and I was not afraid to speak and to make mistakes. And I have many of those, but
we all do.
Maybe for another podcast.
The failure podcast. Yes.
And then not being afraid anymore made a difference. And I got very involved and became the president of the international club and really doing lots of initiatives. And then the same university there, college, granted me another scholarship to stay and transfer my curriculum. So I graduated there. And then I had a work permit for a year. And I was working with different in different cities with a youth hostel to bring international students, make them feel welcome. I was in Philadelphia, New York City, Los Angeles, all over. And then 2008, the big crisis hit. So I was like, it's time to go back to study. So I received another scholarship to go to Melbourne, to Australia. And that was fantastic. A whole different experience. I didn't have the language barrier anymore. And after that, after finishing my studies, I was backpacking in New Zealand and heard about EF. There was a traineeship open position here in Switzerland. It was in Lucerne. So 13 years ago, after backpacking, I moved to Switzerland, to Lucerne, and started as a trainee. And I have been wearing all sorts of different hats, working all over the world. And today I'm here acting as country manager for HALT EF.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's an amazing journey. But it takes me to a little bit the values you have. What would you say is the most important value that drives you through life?
My value, my north or guiding star is to do good. I really believe leaving a positive footprint in all spheres in life is super, super important. I've experienced loss from close friends at a young age, and I'm fully conscious that every day it's a gift, and we shall really embrace it and try to make the best out of it. So to me, that's super important, and that's why I've been in this organization for so long, because we really do work for good, and I absolutely love the positive footprint that we are with all our different actions we're bringing to the world.
That's amazing. Imagine a world where more people had this kind of value. Wouldn't be so much conflicts and wars and polarization and everything. So, but I'm also a little bit curious about the, so just to bring us into the DEIB topic a little bit. So what would you say, how would you say DEIB has been aligned with your purpose and values?
100%. I think we are all human beings. So it's super important to take that into account with everything we do. We all, I mean, that is the peculiarity from our species. So we share, and it's so rich, I think, the diversity. Just living and working in different countries with people all around the world, it's incredible. We really can learn from each other, help each other, and it's, yeah, it's all interconnected. Absolutely.
And how do you bring this into Halt EF in your role as the country manager for Switzerland?
I'd like to talk a little bit about my team.
Yes, of course. Yes, love to.
So the team is super diverse. We have someone from Venezuela, someone really from, we have from Europe, from Asia, from all over the world. So that's quite interesting. We do have males, females, and we do have different ages as well. And a lot of different upbringing and backgrounds and interests. And I think the strengths are quite different. So we can really help each other and learn from each other. And I think as a country manager, it's super important to make sure that everyone feels included. That it's truly a safe space where they can speak up. And if they disagree with something, really share their feelings without any fear. And I love to bring the balance of for them to be challenged, to grow whilst they are working, but also most importantly, to have fun. That's so important.
Yeah, I love that. And do you have any, what do you see is are the biggest challenges in these kind of diverse teams? Is there any specific challenge as you see it? And how do you face that as a leader?
I think challenges, it's a difficult question, because I think within EF, our organization is quite diverse naturally and embracing this diversity. Most of us have been living abroad, learn different languages. So we have diversity and inclusion really within our DNA and our day-to-day life. But I think as a country manager or in any leadership role, it's fundamental to make sure that we include everyone. For example, when we are really brainstorming on a business case, I'd like to ask everyone in the room, what do they think? And sometimes the introverts have brilliant ideas that we implement, and perhaps if we would not have asked them, they would not have naturally taken the room and spoken. So I think that's really, really important because everyone has something to add for sure.
And do you have any specific programs that promotes DEIB within Halt EF, or programs that reach out to the society to make sure that we also embrace, we operate as organizations?
Definitely. So within our organization, we have our DEIB ambassadors. So these are volunteers from DEF group from all over the world that would like to get really involved actively on the different initiatives. And magic really does happen because since we are present in the entire globe, and these are volunteers that are willing to spend their time with different initiatives, it's quite diverse, the group itself, and then it brings a lot of value. Like sometimes they really share something that is happening in the regions and why is it important to them. And then of course in our ecosystem we have our global net where we have, and our SharePoint where we have access to podcasts, to some lecture to really have the latest insights on the EIB. We do have some trainings as well. It's called Lessonly. And there we have it for sure once we onboard someone, but also ongoing. That's a very important topic for us. And that's just to name a few.
But that's great to hear, because I think we met a few companies over the years that highlighted the DEIB for a while. And then when they reached their goals, they stopped focusing on it, and suddenly they go back. So I think this is like a value, something ongoing forever, like any value, right? So yeah, and but I also wonder a little bit about what strategies do you find are the most effective to promote equity within Haltef? Do you have any specific strategies? I'm thinking of companies that are right in the beginning of their journey to understand, okay, so most of us nowadays understand why the business benefits, but are they, how does your internal strategies look like? And is it any structure around it to make sure we don't stop focusing on it and go back?
Yeah, it's a very good question. So if we think about the new joiners, the onboarding, it's already a strategy there. So we collaborate with an organization that is called Power to Fly.
Yeah.
And it really helps us to make sure that we have outreach for the entire workforce around the world, so that everyone has equal opportunities to access our opportunities around the organization. Yeah. And of course, we use all the different platforms to advertise our job openings. And within our organization, we have conducted recently a survey to really try to understand what's happening, like to really listen to our employees and understand how do they feel. And we had great attendance of that survey, like 74% responded.
Okay.
And it's confidential because we're still a privately held organization, but I can share, for example, that we had 89% that felt that they belong to the organization. Oh, so, and I can say that I also feel after 13 years that I belong to the organization very much. Yes. So now we're going to analyze the data from that survey, and this is going to be the pillar of all the different KPIs that we're going to really set to address the different key points that we are finding. Yeah,
that's great. And different companies approach DEIB in a bit different ways. So many talk about diversity and inclusion only, and I would say most say diversity, equity, inclusion, but you wanted to add a B. Can you tell us a little bit about the importance for you around that?
Yes, thank you. So that's the belonging, exactly what I mentioned. It's really, we feel like we are part of a family. So for example, here in Zurich, we are over 1,000 employees, 50 different nationalities, but it's not only because we're here. Like if you go to any EF office around the world, you breathe that way of working, of really being international, really being super passionate about the work we do. It's this feeling. It doesn't matter if you go to Peru, if you go anywhere in Asia, like anywhere in Africa, like anywhere around the world, it's the exact same feeling.
That's amazing.
This culture and these values that we breathe is quite unique. Yes,
that's amazing. Yeah, but it takes a lot of work to get there, right? And a very strong culture and strong leaders. So I just also, I mean, you measured the success, you talked a little bit about that, and how will you use the numbers that do not feel belongingness in the company? How will you work with that ahead? Do you have an idea for that? Because I think many companies wonder. At Bitly, we do an inclusion survey, and we also face these, okay, what is a good number and what is a bad number when it comes to measuring inclusion, for example? And what do you do with the rest of it? Do you have a strategy or idea to face that?
It's a very good question. And we are now analyzing, as we speak, the details of that perhaps smaller audience that didn't feel perhaps as included, and understand the why and dig deeper. And then based on that, we're going to develop different initiatives. But it's not something that we do in 24 hours.
No.
It's a whole process. And we really try to have different initiatives. Also ad hoc initiatives, because in certain regions, we do have different challenges as well. So yes, but we take that super seriously. It's very important.
And I also think that, I mean, it's not a quick fix. This is a topic that needs to live forever, but also I mean, changing behaviors, start doing things with the right hand if you're left-handed, it's not a quick fix. Yeah. So I'm happy on the journey. But also, how do you, are there certain groups you see in your surveys that are minority for HALT EF, and how do you approach those groups to make minority groups grow within HALT? Do you have strategies to embrace these groups a bit extra, or?
So I like to share a little bit the ratios. Yes. In our organization, we mm-hmm. have 61% of women in staff and managerial roles, and out of which, and then within the organization, 50% of the executive senior roles are also women. So that's quite a healthy balance. And I can perhaps be a representation of this, that I'm a Spaniard, originally a working mother with two very small children, and today heading up Switzerland for HALT EF. So we do have that already as a core, which is quite unique.
Yeah, it is.
But we continue, because that's just tackling gender, right? So yeah. we continue to really challenge ourselves and see how can we improve, how can we become even more inclusive. So we are now really like gathering more data and trying to understand that. And most importantly, really, as an organization, so we have the different teams, but really as an organization, creating a safe space with these DEIB ambassadors that they can always go to in the different locations around the world and speak up if something feels wrong. So they have someone of trust that is dedicated to this pro bono. So it's like, because maybe sometimes someone might feel not sure to address something to their direct reports or that division. There is always someone in our offices that are part of the EIB. And that really does help to address some issues that we might have.
Yeah. So, but also I am a bit curious about, because there is a big backlash going on in the world right now. And I was talking to I had a really good conversation with the principal of Stockholm School of Economics the other day. And he gave me a broader picture of the movement against DEIB going on at universities, but also in the companies in different parts of the world. So we start cutting these roles, there is a general pushback towards DEIB, but it also maybe mirrors a bit what is happening in some organizations, the society, what's going on outside the world in our companies. But do you face any like pushbacks or resistance within HALT EF? And how do you handle those kind of discussions coming up or opinions occurring, or how do you do that?
I believe we don't have any pushback, because it's really embedded within our DNA. Like, I feel that the ones that decide to work for these organizations, they tend to be super curious about other cultures, other languages, human beings.
Yeah.
So I think it's quite connected to our mission and to who we are. So I've never, in 13 years, I've never experienced that. I can't just speak for myself and my experience, but I believe we genuinely do not have opposition. The other way around, we embrace it, and through the work we do, we try to bring that to light.
That's absolutely amazing. But how would you, with all your experience, say that another company should handle this? Do you have any ideas on how to face this? If you were on a workplace where this was not that natural, how would you approach that as the strong-minded, positive, driven person, leader you are? Would you like stand up for your...
Yeah.
Yeah?
So I think listening is the essence.
Yeah.
I would perhaps also conduct a survey to try to dig deeper and understand what is happening, to really provide a safe space where it's an anonymous survey and everyone can truly express themselves without any fear about how they feel.
Mm.
And really taking the time to analyze that thoroughly, yeah, and then to apply some KPIs and to work against them consistently. As you said, this isn't done overnight.
No.
And it requires a lot of resources, a lot of eyes, but especially ears. So I think that's the most important, just listening.
Yeah, yeah. Wonderful. And I think that I meet many leaders who lack the listening part. And it's so crucial to understand, obviously, the world around us. But also geopolitically and demographically, things are going out there in the world. And somehow it drops down into our organizations, and maybe a new world emerging now rapidly. And it's a lot of new challenges for leaders having all this coming into our companies and find a leadership style where we also stand up for certain values in a quite tough world right now. So, yeah. But I'm also curious about how important is it for Halti IF to have external collaborations? And how do you make sure you stay up to date what is happening around your company?
Yeah. It's super important. And that's why one of the reasons why we're sitting here today. So we have a wonderful collaboration with Mitlif, and we are driving different initiatives together here in Switzerland, and we are very much inspired by the work you do. So that is super important. We cannot do this alone, ever. We need to really always partner. And with our line of work, we have different projects. For example, in the public sector, we have conducted a program in Brazil, in the regions of Mato Grosso and Paraná, where we have trained 1 million students how to learn English.
Wow.
And it's really, really empowering. And if I refer back to what I used to do at EF before becoming a mother, that I was traveling 80% of the time, I was involved in a project in Latin America that is called Service Learning from our Educational Tours Division. And there we partner with local NGOs to participate in community-driven projects. So it was, I was in awe to seeing the impact it had on the students themselves going and working on the ground, but also the positive footprint that they were leaving behind in the different communities, and they still are, yes.
That's amazing.
And we also have, for example, in the private sector, another program in Rwanda that we do with the MasterCard Foundation, where we are training 30,000 tourism employees, a lot of women, and most of them have experienced a promotion. So it's quite interesting that we are involved in all sorts of different programs, working with the largest organizations around the world, and we see and feel the impact right away, empowering human beings. And we always say, like, we great change makers. This is truly our mission.
So, yeah. And also, I'm super curious, since the manager, country manager here for Switzerland, I'm here learning a lot about Switzerland for the moment, since we are present here now and we have started this collaboration. And what living in so many countries and I mean, in your everyday life, also meeting so many different cultures, what would you say is different for Switzerland as a country, and what are the biggest challenges you face here in Switzerland when it comes to DEIB?
Yeah, Switzerland is quite unique. We have 4 official languages. I believe a lot of subcultures within. So I started in Lucerne in the German part, and now I'm living in the French part, and it's very different. I think that's a great opportunity to drive diversity, because it's quite diverse, the country, naturally. And therefore, I think it attracts these international aspects. So here in Zurich, for example, we do have these 50 nationalities just here. So that's quite special and unique. So that's a positive aspect. And then thinking about the challenges as a working, full-time working mother, with 2 small children, my children are 2 and 6, it's not given. In the small town where I live, most of my neighbors, I don't want to say all, but maybe, they work a percentage. That's more culturally normal. And we do have to be creative to find perhaps a kita for my smallest, after school program for my oldest.
Mm.
I generally believe where there is a will, there's a way.
Mm.
But as expats, finding the balance, yeah, and we call it, my husband and I, this Tetris of who does what, so it gets done and we accomplish all the missions of the day, it's not given for sure, but we absolutely love Switzerland. I'm actually applying for Swiss citizenship this year, and I feel Swiss after 13 years. It's absolutely an incredible country for sure.
That's wonderful to hear, yeah, because I'm coming over soon, so
very happy to have you here.
Yeah, thank you. And also I'm a little bit, there are a lot of like leaders and companies listening to this podcast that is somehow starting their journey, and you have come quite far if we comparing to other organizations. And what would you say is your like number one tips or number one like key takeaway that you would give for pass forward to leaders and companies who wants to start the journey?
Yeah, in terms just of DEIB or yes, so I feel just going back to the essence, we're human beings, and let's embrace that, how rich, how magic is that, right? And just creating a safe space where everyone can be themselves without fear, and then we all have something to add. We all have our uniqueness, our values, our ways of doing that might be different from our neighbors. So really just embracing that and having diversity, where the more diverse the teams are, the better the ideas and the stronger the solutions, I think. So yeah, just keeping that in mind, and that we are all human beings, and that's magical if we embrace it.
Yeah. And it takes an open mindset, a skill set that I think I don't see everywhere. So it's so much easier to start in a KPI just to measure something and put people more into boxes, because that's the shortcut of starting doing things. But embracing this topic by seeing each other as human beings, I love it. I love it. Because at Mittliv we struggle a bit when people are so quick starting, you know, just creating the boxes and ticking the boxes everywhere. So I reflect a lot over that. We should be able to see this topic more complex, right? And embrace the complexity, because that's also the beauty of it, right? No one is the same as anyone else. So yeah. That's nice. That's a very good takeaway for all of you. And looking ahead then, what are your future goals and aspirations for Halt EF in terms of DEIB, would you say?
So our future goals are to continue on this journey.
Yeah.
To really now tackle anything that we might have realized through the survey that requires attention.
Yeah.
To continue conducting these surveys, to test the temperature regularly, how is our whole workforce feeling, and to really making sure they have access to anything they might need. So we have well-being programs, we do have counseling if needed. Things happen, and every day is different for everyone, right? So to really be always listening and attentive, and addressing anything that might arise, and to keep it really for the long run. This is not a solution that is just apply and then it's done. Like this is something that must be done, I think, forever.
Yeah.
And then, of course, to continue fostering our mission to empower human beings and to open the world through education.
Oh, thank you so much. And we always say at Mittliv, together we walk the talk. So if you want to go fast, you go alone. If you want to go far, we go together. So yeah, thank you so, so much, Adriana, for taking your time for this super important conversation with lots of insight and learnings and all your experience. And hopefully this also inspires all of you to do more. And we also want to say a big thank you for taking your time to listen to us. And yeah, let's wish everyone just a wonderful day. and see you in next podcast that we will do together with the head of D&I at ABB, Heidi Robertson. So to be continued, and thank you again, Adriana.
Thank you for having me, and thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.